I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad, under bad, day, bad law, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny stole all my buds when she was drinking whiskey in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do better. All my friends that come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, but bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tad of my brains, splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Mafia tonight, and you're telling me that the GM of the Mets got caught on a hot mic saying that Rob Manfred basically was an idiot. And then I got to get this straight, that Manfred wanted the team to leave the field, return an hour later, and that he just doesn't get it. And then you're telling me that an hour later, he backtracked on all of it and said it wasn't Manfred he was talking about. It was Jeff Wilpon.
Yeah, that apparently he was saying that because they wanted to say the Mets and Marlins not playing to just sit out an hour and then come back and play. And so that it wasn't another one disrupted by all these, you know, boycotts. And then it turns out it wasn't even the commissioner that said that. It was Jeff Wilpon, his boss, who he apparently was ripping.
So the guy, he shredded the owner of the team. And he's still the owner. The Mets are for sale. They're trying to sell the team. But he's still the owner. And he's still your boss. He's still the guy that hired you and gave you the job. And you slam him? Oh, my God. I can't even believe he hasn't been fired already. I can't even believe it. What guy in their right mind torches the owner or their boss on, like, television and gets away with it? I mean, honestly, you can't even make this stuff up. On the bench.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so we're going to have Mitch Lawrence on NBA coming up here in, I don't know, in like 15 minute stops. So anyway, and he'll talk to us for a while, but I just want to go back to this thing. So I saw a video of this, like it's really kind of creepy, of Brody Van Wagenen discussing a plan in which he says baseball wanted the Mets to take the field, leave it, and return an hour later. And Van Wagenen is critical of the idea, and Rob Manfred saying, quote, he just doesn't get it. And so it was like he was literally, better turn off the game I'm watching right now. So he was actually talking to someone in the room. And I don't know if you saw this or not, Mafia, but he was like talking to someone and he was like keeping it all like hush hush. And, you know, he was on a hot mic. So he was talking really low and he was like trying to make sure no one heard him when he was slamming the commissioner, right? And then I never heard him do Wilpon. Okay, I just heard him do Manfred. But my point is, it's a perfect example. It's a glowing report of really how cheesy these guys are. Like as a whole, not him in specifically. We already know he's cheesy because all you have to do is watch him. He's just backstabbing people left and right on the video when he has no clue he's on a hot mic, right? He's just talking smack. He's talking shack about people behind their back and just doing them. Whoever he's talking to, he's just doing people. He's just talking bad about whoever. and then they caught him red-handed doing it. And it was like, you know, that whole office politics stuff, like that, you know, the rumors and the backstabbing and the like talking bad about people and doing people wrong and blaming people and setting people up. And it goes on at every job everywhere. It goes on in every business, every job everywhere. And you have no idea who like the mole is, who the rat is, who the, you know, bad people are, who the good people, who can you trust besides no one? How do you like knowing that your general manager of your team, the Mets, and I could care less. I don't sit and root against the Mets. Okay. Mafia, I'm not like one of these Yankee fans that sits around, they root against each other. Like the Mets are even worse than the Yankees. In my opinion, as an outsider, the Mets fans, they're more worried about the Yankees losing than the Mets winning. But
well, of course,
I think
you don't have enough wins to really worry about us winning.
But tonight you got an example of how pathetic this guy is that runs your team, that he's sitting around just talking bad about people. And he's not, frankly, smart enough to realize that he's in a room filled with microphones. I mean, if you watch the video, you see there's microphones everywhere. And I'm just like, what are you doing, bro? But he's talking like this. He's like, he just doesn't get it. He's such an idiot. He has no clue what he's doing. He's just a horrible commissioner. We have to make a change. I need to be the commissioner. We need to get him out, and I need to take over. Whoever he's talking to, that's what I want to know. Who's he talking to? Because there's like, he's doing a one-on-one with someone, like having a conversation with someone, and it's picked up, and it makes him look really bad. And then someone walks in the room and says, commissioner wants to we're waiting to hear from the Marlins and what we're going to do here. We're going to decide. And then he was at attention. He's like, okay, okay, uh-huh. Yes, I've got you. Thank you. He got caught red-handed with his hand in the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. How embarrassing is that, Mafia? Honestly.
It's really embarrassing. I mean, it was just a shitty situation, too, though, because it's not even like he was near just, oh, there's an open mic that he's near and didn't realize, like, the sound is boosted. It's very, you know, kind of like conspiracy, someone trying to get him almost, because, like, you really had to jack up the sound to get what they were getting that far away from the mic. But it's just stupid. And you know what? It's typical Mets. It's what it is. That whether it's coming from the ownership or coming from the front office, like, there's just so many mishandled situations in my lifetime as a Met fan that it's just another one that you see that headline, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, of course it was us that did that. Of course it was our guy. I mean, I thought that the hiring of him was shady at best when they did that, you know, bringing in an agent. This guy's never had any experience. Like, you got a team that you really need to fix majorly, and they do this, and then they've done dumb move after dumb move, like, you know, bringing in Beltran with no experience, and then you got him caught up in the Astros thing, so they had to fire him. And it makes sense, too, that, you know, him coming out later on and saying, oh, well, it wasn't the commissioner, it was the owner. Because, yeah, it was probably Wilpon throwing this out there to him and not saying who it was from, and he just assumed it was the commissioner, not realizing it was his own dumb owner. Because, you know, everyone just rips them and how stupid their moves are. It's just another one of the Wilpon's moves that they were trying to do, and it's just laughable because that's what the franchise has been underneath them.
So let me ask you this question. So if you're the owner of the team, still, he's the owner of the team. They have not sold the team.
Right. Like
they've tried to sell the team, but they have not sold the team. So they are clearly still the owner. Not only that, but they want to sell the team so that they still have like a 5% piece of it. Like, they've always wanted to still have some say in the Mets, even though they're selling the team, which is pathetic, because mm-hmm. what they really want is the $4 billion, right? So what the Wilpons really want is the money. And the power thing is just, that's ego. That's what that is. It's like, I'm going to sell you my house, but I still want to live in it. I mean, like, and so my question to you is this. If you were the Wilpons, and I know them, right? I used to work for them. I don't even care. I don't have any. I just thought that the Sun was a tool. And I thought the Sun was a tool when they came to my studio. Do you remember when they came to my studio?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so they all came in staring at me like I had boogers on my face when I was doing the show at Howard Stern. And they looked at me like I was an alien. And then how funny is this? So they come over and watch me do the show. They look at me like I'm an alien. You can't even deny it. They looked at me like I had no clothes on and I had four eyeballs and I had a giant trunk sticking out of my belly. And then what did they do? They proceeded to go back and cut a deal with me. So in other words, they didn't like me. It was written all over their face. Maybe they did. I don't know, but they were scared to death of me. You couldn't deny that, Mafia, for a million years. They were scared to death of me. They thought I was the devil, and then they still cut a deal with me. They still, you know, gave me a lot of money to do TV, right? So then, what, 3 years later, they fire me, whatever, because I made fun of the Mets, blowing a seven-game lead with 17 games to go, and probably didn't help that I wore a noose on television the day they choked. The last day that they choked and they were eliminated, I wore a noose. That didn't go over too well. So, I got fired. That's fine. I knew that was coming. Like, you don't go in wearing a noose thinking you're going to get out of there without losing your job, right? Like, I didn't need the job. So it was one of those deals. I was going to go out with a bang. And so my point is this. I always thought they were cheese balls. I always did. I used to tell you that. I've always said on the air, I thought they were phonies. And so if I were them and I still own the team and this guy Van Wagenen did this, I'd already have fired him tonight. If I were the Wilpons, I would have fired him tonight for saying that. And then for saying not only that Manfred's an idiot, but that coming back and saying that he didn't say that, my owner did. Jeb Wilpon. I'd fire him for both. Would you not fire him?
Yeah, you're going to embarrass me like that in the organization like that? I would, of course.
I mean, you got to fire him. But they're not going to fire him. You know why? Because they're tools. That's why. Because they're tools. Because they don't have the stones to do it. They have been the most pathetic owners in baseball for so long. And you can quote me on that until the cows come home. And I don't even care for 1 second what they think of me or anything. Listen, Here's the deal. You can hate me until the cows come home. I'm the only show that ever got ratings on that network. Tell the truth, Mafia. I'm the only one that got ratings.
That is absolutely true.
I mean, I did a show. I did two shows, Daily News Live and Wheelhouse. And Wheelhouse, the only show that ever got ratings. Daily News Live never got ratings. But I was only on that for 5 minutes. Then they gave me my own show with Brandon and Custer, and we got ratings. And it was because I was so crazy and animated and had onions.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so... Anyway, I'm over the Brody Van Wagenen drama. I can't believe he's not fired already. I mean, how do you say that about your owner and then get away with it? Like, I mean, honestly, I know a lot of people that are bosses and they wouldn't put up with that. I can guarantee you that. So they obviously have no stones. That's it. Like, to let some guy, I don't care who he is, manager, GM, player, I don't, clubhouse attendant, some ticket taker, you're going to talk that way about the guy that writes everybody's checks? I'm telling you what, I'd fire him already tonight. It would have been done already. Some people, like, I've said this on Coast to Coast and For All on the Bench, George Steinbrenner, done. He'd be out. He'd fire you five times. So anyway, tonight already, you know, today at least, A's Rangers, Twins Tigers, Red Sox Blue Jays, Phillies Nats, Rockies D-backs, O's Rays, Marlins Mets, all postponed because of the Blake shooting. So crazy, right? And I'm watching, I think I pretty much just watched the last two games, the Dodgers and Giants, and then I'm watching Reds Brewers, and it's pretty much like, I think, sixth or seventh inning in a doubleheader. So I'll give you the scores later of what's going on, but it's 4-0 Reds right now. And then the second game of that Dodgers doubleheader, they won both ends of it, 2-0 in the game two. I'll get into baseball later in terms of the games that were played that they, you know, completed. All the rest of them were postponed. Mitch Lawrence is our good friend from NBA Radio, and it's good to have him back on the bench. We got to talk about some stuff and NBA rack playoffs, everything that's been going on. How you doing, Mitch?
Scotty, I'm finally on with you. Appreciate it, and I'm doing okay. How are you? All right? Staying safe and everything?
Everything's good, dude. So let me ask you, what was your reaction to, you know, when it all started with the Bucks and how it bled into where we are tonight?
Well, first of all, people are calling it a boycott. I mean, they went on strike. They refused to play. So I gave them a lot of credit. I mean, look, the players in that bubble, they're frustrated. They're frustrated by the fact that they are not, they feel like they're not getting their message out. They feel like they have a lot to say, but they're isolated. They're inside this bubble. They're frustrated by what's happening on the outside. We saw it before with George Floyd. Now we're seeing it with Jacob Blake. And so I wasn't surprised, especially with the Bucks, because you look at that team, and they've had a couple of notable instances where you had Sterling Brown, who was a victim of police brutality in Milwaukee. Right. You had John Henson when he played there, and he obviously was with Detroit, and he had a racial profiling deal out in a suburb at a jewelry store where he encountered that ridiculous garbage. And so you have guys like George Hill, who's a very strong leader. He's a big leader on that team. And I've known George Hill a long time, started his career in San Antonio. He, of course, was the guy who was traded for the rights to Kawhi Leonard. He's played all over the place in the league. He's a good guy, and he's very, very he's into what is going on in terms of he wants some change. He wants to see the police brutality against these black men we've seen over time put to an end. And so he was the driving force behind it. It's funny. I wake up today and I'm turning on CNN. They got a Bleacher Report guys telling me LeBron James led the boycott. First of all, it's not a boycott. Second of all, that was George Hill and his guys with the Milwaukee Bucks. So listen, and then that just and it was really a wildcat strike because it wasn't even authorized by Chris Paul, right, the head of the union. So
right,
I gave
right.
the Bucks a lot of credit for what they did, Scott, and it just, you know, everybody else basically followed in line with them.
Let me ask you this, two questions. Well, I want to do the LeBron thing next, but I want to do this now. Take me back to what you remember about what happened to Cephalosha in New York with the cops.
Well, I wish that question was coming. I don't remember a lot of the details. I know it was a deal involving the police and also a police brutality case when he was playing, I guess – you know, it's funny.
They
I can't
broke
remember.
His arm. They broke. Yeah, they broke yeah, his arm.
Yeah. Yeah, he was at. Wasn't it? He was coming out of One Oak or something. I mean, yeah. Look, we've had instances. It's not just, you know, these NBA guys have also, as you know, they have encountered a lot of stuff, and we're talking about guys like Sam Mitchell, who works for NBA, you know, radio on Sirius like I do. We're talking about a coach like Doc Rivers, you know, a lot of these guys have encountered what other blacks in this country have encountered in terms of racial profiling, victims of police harassment, brutality, just because of the color of their skin. And what happened to Cephalosha was unfortunate too. So it's just one of many instances, and it's got the younger, you know, it's got a lot of people riled up, not just the older players, obviously the younger guys like Jason Tatum, who's been very eloquent. For the Boston Celtics, there's a frustration of being in the bubble where they're not really able to go out and demonstrate, obviously, because they're in the bubble. It's a thing where for the league, they support these guys, as you know, from the ownership and the they call them now the governors and you know the owners, guys like Adam Silver, they're backing the players. But the problem is, you can't allow these guys to go out and protest if they're in the bubble, Scott, because that defeats the purpose of the bubble in terms of the COVID-19 stuff. So, and, you know, I've heard for a while now that the players are really, you know, you're in the bubble. You do not get to see your family. They're coming in now, I guess it's the second round of the playoffs. And that was a big concern going into this whole environment where they were going to try to shut down the you know, prevent guys from getting the COVID, which they've done, but not having their family there, that's been a very frustrating thing for these guys, plus the fact that there's a lot of demonstrations going on around this country because of what's happening to black people, and they right. feel like their message, even though it's on the court, Black Lives Matter, it's on their uniforms, you know, say her name, all that stuff,
right?
They feel like the impact is not there in the bubble. So it's a very interesting thing, and what we saw is that, you know, there was a real, you know, a lot of guys didn't want to be there and don't want to be there now, but you know what? They want to make their money too. And I think that was the big message coming out of these meetings was that, hey, if we decide we're not going to play, we're going to lose a ton of money, and that's going to be a problem.
So, and that at the end of the day, that's what everything's about in pro sports and in the NBA in every sport, and even in college, all these schools like Nick Saban saying we're doing it for the players. They're not doing anything for the players. They're doing it for money, and they always have, and that's how they fill their coffers. Let me ask you this question. So I don't agree that they should let the family members into the bubble.
Okay.
I don't think they should be in because I think they have it perfect the way it is, and it's worked, well, and it's been phenomenal. And you let all these outsiders come in. I don't care what you call them, family, outsiders. Where have they been? Who have they been around? Where have their kids been around, their wives? Who have they been sitting over there at their friend's house drinking wine and having them breathing all over them? I don't – you know, all these people having barbecues and parties and going here and there. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere, and they all get sick. I don't see why you would let someone into that bubble that hasn't been in there since the jump and add that spice to the mix. I just don't get it. I don't understand why they're doing it. I know they miss their families, whatever.
Well, I know, and, you know, we'll find out if your theory is right. I mean, if there are instances where all of a sudden guys are going to come down with COVID-19, we'll find out. I mean, you might be right on that. We'll see. I mean, look, this is what the league is trying to do because they feel like these guys have been away from their family for several weeks, and the teams that go deeper in the playoffs obviously encountering the same stuff. And it's, you know, you read comments from guys like Paul George about depression. They didn't think it was going to be this hard. And, you know, I don't think a lot of us can relate to what's going on inside that bubble because I'm still, you know, out here in a mask and gloves in North Jersey, when I go out to do my shopping, I can still get around and move around. And I know the players are making a ton of money, and I know this is their job, and I know all that. But I still think you have to look at it from the player standpoint, and this is what they demanded, this is what they got, and we'll see if it works. We'll see if this bubble continues to hold, because if it doesn't, you know, that was from the get-go, that was the big thing. The big concern was if you have an outbreak of cases, that will bring the league down. That's the first thing. That's the problem. So we'll find out if it works, continues to work or not.
Yeah, so the other thing I wanted to say, I'm just concerned, that's all. Just concerned that I don't know if that's a with the way it's spread around college campuses, the way it's spread around the country, the way no one has any clue, it's invisible and it just happens, and then all of a sudden there's just outbreaks everywhere. I don't understand why you would jeopardize that bubble. So I want to ask you this question, but I only have a minute left. So think about this for a second. Let me just say what I think, and then when we come back from the break, you can give me your answer. So it's about LeBron. So LeBron, and I don't know anything. I could be wrong. I wasn't there, but we all know that he got up and walked out of the meeting, right? So here's what I thought. I thought, you know, the Clippers and Lakers both voted no more. Let's end it. Season over. We don't want to play. This is too big. What's going on with Blake and what's going on with social injustice and racism in this country? It's rampant. We're out of here. We're done. We're gone. He gets up and leaves the meeting when there wasn't a plan, when there was an organization, when it wasn't organized. And he gets up and walks out. And I saw the video of him getting up and walking out. And I guess when we come back, I'm going to ask you, how is it that that guy who has all that power did that? And everybody still said, we want to play. We don't care what you think. We'll talk to Mitch Lawrence coming up. So we're talking to Mitch Lawrence, NBA Radio. So, Mitch, you see what I'm saying? LeBron walked out of the meeting, and every other team voted to play. And so what happened to all of his power with the Lakers and Clippers? You know, I don't think the Clippers were listening to LeBron. I just think the Clippers agreed that they should cancel the season. But were you surprised at all that, like, he spoke like that and – chose to walk away completely and that no one else followed his lead for once?
Well, yeah, I mean, who knows what you can believe in terms of the reports. I'm sure there'll be more stuff in the coming days, but he was apparently out, then he came back in. I think he had grown from, you know, there are all kinds of stuff floating around about LeBron and the fact that he had grown, you know, weary of the bubble to the bubble life, being in there, playing with the Lakers. Yes, he wants to win a title. Yes, he, you know, but still, the whole thing about being away from his family as of impacting him now in terms of, you know, what we find out, it's going to be interesting in the coming days. But to me, it always goes back to this. He's the one guy I always thought heading into this pandemic playoffs, and they're really, you know, this is an ersatz playoff deal, but he was going to count it on his record if he won it as legitimate title number four, because he had a, you know, he's running out of time. He's played at this ridiculously high level, MVP level in year 17, which nobody else has done. He's 35. How many more cracks at the championship is he going to get? And so I thought that he would be more gung-ho than apparently he was. He mentioned in a interview of a couple of weeks ago that there was stuff going on swirling outside about the Lakers. So who knows? But I mean, yeah, if LeBron definitely said, I'm out of here, that could have brought the whole bubble down because he's got that type of impact. But I guess, you know, look, it goes back to the whole thing about they stand to lose $1 billion if they don't play these playoffs. That's what they make, $1 billion with a B, Scott. And LeBron knows that he lost some money in China this year. He knows what this going through and playing with this means, not just because of his ability to win, but the ability for the league to make money. And I'm sure he's one of the – look, he definitely is out front in terms of he wants to see reforms in terms of police brutality. You saw his tweets about that. So I'm sure that he'll be on the commissioner and the owners about what action are we actually going to take here more than just words. But it's very interesting. Anything that, you know, we always talk about LeBron because he is the number one guy.
Do you think that they're as good as advertised? Like when you saw the Blazers beat them in game one and then they basically kicked their ass ever since. And now that Dame's done and gone with the knee and he's leaving the bubble, they're toast. So what do you believe about the Lakers?
Well, I believe the Lakers are still – I expect they and the Clippers will meet for the, you know, Western title. I picked the Clippers before the bubble. I'm still going with them, even though they struggled with Luka and Dallas. I still think they're going to be a team that can beat the Lakers in a best of seven. LeBron's going to play at a high level. I don't know about Anthony Davis. I don't know about the rest of the Laker guys. It's going to be a great series. I hope it comes to fruition, comes to pass. But I think the Lakers – look, they looked vulnerable in terms of their inability to stop perimeter defenders and shoot the three in the first game against Portland. But Portland's a team that gave up a zillion points, even when they were coming and played great in the bubble in terms of winning. They couldn't stop anybody, just like Dallas can't stop anybody. So I think the Lakers and the Clippers are still going to be the best teams in the West, and I'm still picking the Clippers.
Yeah, I am too. I still feel like, at some level, that team, you know, to me, Harrell has had like no cardio, no burn. He came back from his grandma dying. He's done nothing in the series. And then the last game, he finally kind of woke up from the dead. If you get that guy going double-double, and then you've got, Williams scoring like he does. They don't play him, in my opinion, nearly enough, or they don't give him the rock nearly enough. The guy can give you 25, 30 points in 25 minutes faster than you can spit. And we already know if PG's hitting, because he wasn't, and then he said he was in a depressed state or whatever, now that he's back and he started stroking it the other night, you get Kawhi, PG going, Lou Williams, if you got Harrell going, Shamet going, I mean, you can't, and Zubats, you can't stop that team.
Tell you, they're going to be, especially, you know, Kawhi. That's the whole key for me because, you know, Paul George to me, he gets too many playoff disappointments for me to look at him as a big time true star. But Lou Williams, I'll tell you what, he hasn't even cranked it up yet. So, Kawhi's going to have a lot of help there, and we'll see. The big thing is when they play the Lakers. I mean, you know, this weird thing about this bubble. Nobody's got a home court advantage. Just have the ball, you know, you just have these two teams playing. Now, the one thing is that I always felt about LeBron, if he was into it mentally, is that this schedule was going to help him because he doesn't have to get on any planes and fly anywhere. As we know, when you're older, that's what these guys want to avoid, is taking extra flights during the playoffs. The toughest thing LeBron has to do is get on a bus and play in the same place all the time, staying in the bubble. So, you know, but I think it'll be great. And I would think that the winner will go out. And I in the East, I picked Toronto. I don't know how you feel about them.
I
felt that they could beat Milwaukee. And I felt that they can beat Boston. And they've got the knowledge of winning last year. I know they don't have Kawhi. That's a big deal. But in the four games, they're playing a G League team, the Nets. So they just it was just a total joke. But I think Toronto's really playing great now in the East.
It sounds like the guys I play with in the morning at 6:45, the G League squad. So do you Because how much does Lowry's ankle bother you in terms of, I know they have this great bench, Powell, everything else. Van Vliet can score 30 wearing no pants. He's turned into a stud on this team. I think Lowry and Van Vliet have taken their games to a whole new level without Kawhi Leonard. I actually think this team is in some ways, not all, but in some ways, they're a little bit better than they were with Kawhi. Kawhi did it all, in my opinion, did it all with Siakam, and nobody else did jack. Now you've got seven or eight guys producing on that team, not just two.
Mm. Well, you know, the big thing to me is going to be in whether it's this series against Boston or if they advance against, I assume it'll be Milwaukee, you know, down the stretch of these games, who's going to hit their big shots late? Who do you trust? Are you going to trust Siakam? Are you going to trust Kyle Lowry? Yeah, I would be concerned about his health because you need all hands on deck on that team. Are you going to be able to trust Fred VanVleet in a big spot? I mean, last year you could trust Kawhi to get you home, especially, you know, late in the game when it comes down to final possessions. That's the one thing we're all wondering about with Toronto, because otherwise they've got a ton of different ways to beat you. They compete like hell. They defend, and Nick Nurse is a hell of a coach. To me, that's their only unanswered question is, do they have a guy who can lead you down the stretch of a playoff game and make big winning plays?
You know, I thought Van Vliet did that last year, hit big shots, and now he hits even bigger shots. That's... And from another 3 feet back, the guy's pulling up from 28, 30 feet. What do you think Boston has to do to deal with that team? Because they don't have Hayward. He was about a 17 piece. But now, you know, that's a 17 piece, and that bench of theirs doesn't make up that 17 spot. But can Brown, Tatum, and, you know, Kemba, and frankly,
Kemba,
Smart and company.
Marcus Smart.
Can he do it? What do they got to do to beat
him? Well, you know, you know what they're going to have to do? First of all, I wonder, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have been very outspoken about being frustrated in this bubble. Is that going to carry? Is that going to impact their play? Are they going to be happy staying there? I don't know how they voted, but it would seem to me those guys didn't want to be in the bubble anymore. So I wonder if Brad Stevens and teammates are going to have to get those guys refocused on the mission at hand, and that's winning. And they're going to have their hands full. I mean, look, Kemba Walker's never played deep in the playoffs before. This is the first time, you know, he's out of the first round in his life. We'll see how he reacts. I mean, so far he's been pretty good, you know, pretty good. But, you know, it all starts with Tatum and Brown, and they're just going to have to outplay. Those are the guys they're going to have to rely on, Boston. And, you know, the other problem with Boston is, yeah, perimeter-wise, they've got those guys who are great defenders against, you know, the players we talked about for Toronto. But size-wise, Ibaka and Marc Gasol could have big series because who's the bigs that you worry, you know, that are going to help Boston shut down those guys? I think Toronto's got a big advantage there. For Boston, they'd have to get just remarkable play out of Tatum and Brown and Kemba and Smart to advance in this series.
You know that the Bucks are going to win, and the Heat already did win. You don't think that the Heat shoot the ball well enough to be in a series with Milwaukee? Because, I mean, I think the Heat shoot better than anybody.
Well, they have a lot of guys who are first time in the playoffs, you know, and so we'll see how they do against a, you know, a much better opponent than, you know, this is a step up. This is Milwaukee, the class of the East, basically, with Giannis and Antetokounmpo. And, you know, we'll see how George Hill and these guys also, they didn't want to play, you know, where their heads are going to be at when they play, you know, when they finish off Orlando, where their head's going to be at for the next series against Miami. It's going to be a good series. It's going to be tough for Milwaukee, but I still expect Milwaukee could get by Miami. I would think they have to. I know, look, Miami shoots it well, and they've got Jimmy Butler, and they've got playoff experience, and Iguodala, Jay Crowder. But Milwaukee, I still think, you know, once they got over that initial blip, and they did not play well in the initial bubble in the run-up games to the playoffs,
right.
They were 3-5. But they got their act together, and I think they can handle Miami. I'd be surprised if they got knocked off by the Heat at this stage.
So do you think the Rockets have to get Westbrook back to beat the Thunder? Because I think Schroeder and the Thunder are about to roll them.
Well, I'll tell you what. I picked Oklahoma City before the series. I'm still going with them. I know Westbrook is a huge loss. Anybody who thinks that he isn't as crazy. I know playoff-wise he's had his ups and his downs, but the fact that they're in a dogfight now shows you how much they miss him. And yeah, Oklahoma City's a good team. You know, we saw they're a very good team. We saw that way back in March. They have that great three-guard rotation. They're kind of playing with house money, and all the pressure is on James Harden and Mike D'Antoni to get out of this round, because we know Mike D'Antoni's going to get fired if they don't get out of this round. It'll probably end up, I don't know if he'll end up in Indiana because they don't pay a lot of money for coaches, but his name's been mentioned there. His name's been mentioned in other places. So, yeah, this is a thing where I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Thunder advanced, which would be a tremendous for Chris Paul. You know he wants to get back at the Rockets because James Harden basically sent him out of town. And I'm sure Chris Paul thinks about that all the time when he's going to get up against the Rockets in this series.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I love seeing that kid Dort play defense physically against Harden and banging. Let me ask you lastly, I got about 45-50 seconds, respectfully. Do you think the Jazz finish off the Nuggets? Because I do. I think, you know, they slipped their minds for about 10 minutes and it cost them a 15-point lead and they lost. They should have won that game. The series should be over already.
Yeah, you know, and I picked Denver to beat them. In the first round, I figured the loss of Bogdanovich, Mike Conley being out for the first couple of games would doom Utah. I was wrong on that. This would be a big-time disappointing loss for Mike Malone and his guys, even though Jamal Murray's played out of his mind. Right. This would be a bad setback for Denver. I don't think it's going to cost Mike his job, but that is not good losing to Utah in that way. And then you know, Utah really showed me something, the way they've played, and Mike Conley Jr. coming in. And, you know, they've got big-time players. So, yeah, that would be a great win for Utah heading into the second round.
15 seconds, Mitch. Do you think they'll play tomorrow?
Well, I think everybody says they're going to play Saturday, but we'll see. I mean, you know, it's a possibility. But I think the likelihood is everybody's thinking they're going to resume play on Saturday and get the games going again. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But there's no doubt the playoffs have resumed. Because they want to get that money back, right?
All right. Hey, Mitch, I love you. Killer stuff. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother. All right, just real quick, Mafia. How many people do you think they'll let? Like, because my guess is when they open that gym, because we live outside of New York City. And they've had gyms closed, right? So Mafia and I play a lot of basketball, and I play at this really cool place. And I won't get into all that, but I will say that they have decided to open the gyms on September 1st, but only at 25% capacity. So when that place is as big as it is, and then how many people belong there, it's like 7,000 people belong to that place. It's enormous, right? And then... You know, every day you go in there, there's got to at least be 500 to a 750, maybe even 1,000 people in there every day, like all day long, right? So how do you only let 25% in and then expect us to be able to play basketball? What do you think they'll let in? My guess is 12 at a time. So there'd be 4-on-4 in the half court. Only one court will be open, and they'll let 8 play and 4 wait. The loser, you know, who's got next? What do you think of that idea?
That's a possibility. I don't know how they're going to segregate it, if it's going to be like that certain amount in each area, or it's just going to be a general, this is how many people allowed in the building and wherever you are is where you are. Cause that'll definitely make it a challenge, you know, to figure out who's going where or what workout they're doing. It's going to be a giant mess. I think, you know, they're not even bringing back all the staff right away because of not having in, you know, the major capacity. So we'll see how they figure that out. It's tough. It's not a decision I want to make. You're going to have a lot of angry rich people that want to be, you know, specially treated.
There's going to be a lot of angry rich people. You got that right. They're always angry and rich at that place, aren't they? They're just constantly mad. Even when they're happy, they're mad. Have you ever been around so many people that complain is in that place? Like, honestly, you can't even make
no,
it
I've
up.
No, it's not. No, everyone wants their own way. It's ridiculous.
But, I mean, there's people complaining there all day long, every day. All they do is complain. All right, we're back for another hour.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.